Just come close the mind, those performing Sananshana. Alhamdulillahi Rabbil Alameen. Wassalatu wassalamu ala Sayyidina Muhammad wa ala alihi wa sahbihi wa barik wa sallim. Amma ba'du fa'adhu billahi min ash-shaytanir rajim. Bismillahir Rahmanir Rahim. وما جعلنا القبلة التي كنت عليها إلا لنعلم من يتبع الرسول ممن ينقلب على عقبيه وإن كانت لكبيرة إلا على الذين هدى الله وما كان الله ليضيع إيمانكم إن الله بالناس لرؤوف رحيم وبعد. All praise be to Allah Ta'ala who has included us in the ummah of that great being who is the most beloved and the most close and the loftiest to Allah Ta'ala in His entire creation, our beloved Nabi Kareem Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam. And every aspect of the life of Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam is filled with great mercies. It's mere discussion. Very speedily brings the mercy of Allah Ta'ala into our lives. Yesterday we had looked at the aspect of the seerah of Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, the important injunction of Adhan, its origins, the story behind it, its virtues. Now, at this point in the seerah, we are in the first and second year after the hijrah of Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. Various other incidents had taken place. The Sahabi As'ad bin Zurara radiallahu an was the leader of the clan within Medina Munawwara known as the Banu Najjar. Now, the Banu Najjar were a clan within the Ansar. Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had maternal links to them. In our earlier lessons during the year of seerah, we looked at how amazingly, we can just touch on it once again for those who may not have been here, that many, many years, 400 years in fact, before Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam in Medina Munawwara, there was a great king from Yemen who was a believer in the oneness of Allah Ta'ala, a believer in Allah Azza wa Jal. He had been passing by, and in fact this was a long, long time before that, was passing by the area that had not yet been inhabited as Medina Munawwara, and with him he had many proficient scholars of the Zabur. So when they saw this place, Medina Munawwara, that later on became the city of Medina Munawwara, when they saw the surroundings, they realized that this is exactly the city described by Allah Ta'ala in the previous scriptures towards which the final Nabi of Allah Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam would migrate towards. So they asked permission from the king, the believer, Tubba. They asked him permission to settle down in that area. So he asked them the reason for this, that why you're asking not to go on with me and to live and to inhabit this area. They said to Tubba, the reason for this is that we see the description of the city towards which the final Nabi of Allah Ta'ala will migrate towards fits perfectly onto this land. And therefore, we wish to be amongst those that if he happens to migrate here, to be amongst his helpers, supporters, bring iman in him, in the final Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, not knowing that this incident would take place many centuries later only. But Tubba was so taken aback by this, that he full-heartedly gave them permission, facilitated the means of each of them getting married, built homes for all of them, and in fact, he specifically built one home out of his personal money, and said, and left behind a letter to say, that the final Nabi of Allah, when he migrates toward the city, he can be my guest and live in my home that I have prepared for him. Subhanallah, amazingly, that is the very home at which Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam had settled on the termination of Hijrah, the home of Hazrat Abu Ayyub al-Ansari radiyallahu ta'ala an. And Sira talk about that letter that was read to Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in which he had praised in beautiful couplets that if I were to find the time of that final Nabi and I wish I was physically present to be at your assistance, to be of your khidmah and help to you. So when a person has sincere intentions, Allah Ta'ala brings it to realization in the most amazing manners. So the Banu Najjar were a clan. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam had maternal links to them. The grandmother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was from Medina Munawwara, from the Banu Najjar. So the masjid of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was not even yet constructed when As'ad bin Zurara, the leader of this tribe, passed away. So the clansmen came to Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam that our leader Asad bin Durara has passed away. So do appoint another leader on his place, the leader of our clan, appoint a chief over us. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam conferred this greatest of honors and said that I have maternal links to your clan. So if you allow, let me be your leader. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam was the leader of the entire community in any event. And they saw this as a great source of pride. They would reminisce about this and speak about the fact that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam took such pride in this link. Lesson for us is to maintain relatives, to maintain ties with our family members. Look at the extent that Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, these were far-reaching relations related through the grandmother, great-grandmother of Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. But Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam gave extreme importance to this. One of the quickest means to draw the mercy of Allah Ta'ala into our lives is to enjoin family ties. And especially if it so happens we have relatives, maybe they are bad to us, we respond with goodness. They make every effort to cut ties. This is exactly the meaning of enjoining family ties. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam says, "Man ahabba yusata lahu fi rizqihi wa umrihi falyasil rahima," or kama qala sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, or fi riwayatin wal yunsa fi atharihi, that person who wishes for an abundance and vastness in one's sustenance and in one's lifespan should enjoin ties. Now the incident that had taken place around this time, very importantly, the injunction of fasting pertinent to the month of Ramadan, in the second year after the hijrah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, in the latter days of the month of Sha'ban, is when Allah Ta'ala had given the command of the compulsory fast in the month of Ramadan. We had mentioned it this morning in the tafsir after Fajr, but just briefly to summarize the phases in the compulsion of fasting. After Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam arrived in Madinah Munawwara, Rasulullah sallallahu alayhi wa sallam used to fast on the day of Ashura and 3 days of every month. Then came the command to fast in the month of Ramadan, second phase, but this was an optional state, that fast in the month of Ramadan, but there was an option that if they found it extremely difficult, give the fidya, the monetary compensation. And then came the third phase, Shahru Ramadan, فَمَنْ شَهِدَ مِنْكُمُ الشَّهْرَ فَلْيَصُمْ, that whomsoever is present in this month, then one should fast this. It is no longer the option of fasting or fidya, monetary compensation. Yes, the monetary compensation is there for a person who may be extremely ill, may be very ill or extremely old and weakened to that state that one is absolutely incapable of fasting. Merely having old age is not reason enough. If one is old and yet has the power and strength to fast, then that fast is compulsory. So that person who is too incapacitated, impossible for that person to keep the fast, then obviously the option of the fidya is there, qadha, and if qadha is not possible, then to give the monetary compensation. However, the command then came that only in the instance of a person being extremely ill or a musafir, a traveler according to Shariat, is he excused from fasting in Ramadan to make it up at a later time. If that is not also possible, then the fidya, the monetary compensation. It was also in this year, around this time, another very, very important incident in the seerah of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the turning of the Qibla towards Makkatul Mukarramah, the Haram Sharif in Makkah Mukarramah. Now, history of Qibla, when Rasul sallallahu alayhi wa sallam and the Muslimin were in Madinah Munawwara under duress, under very difficult circumstances, the formation of a Muslim community with the various dini structures was not possible. Islam was largely practiced in secret in the Darul Arqam, in the Haram Sharif, individually, except when Sayyidina Umar radiallahu ta'ala became a Muslim, then they could openly say their salah for the very first time in the Masjid al-Haram. So the first Qibla was towards Jerusalem, but Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam being in the precincts of the Kaaba Sharif, while facing towards Jerusalem, would obviously do so in a manner that also incorporated the Kaaba Sharif. After Hijrah towards Madinah Munawwara, Allah Ta'ala commanded that the Qibla be towards Jerusalem, al-Masjid al-Aqsa. Now this was an extremely stern test for Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. About 16, according to some narrations, 17 months after Hijrah, they continued to perform Salah towards al-Masjid al-Aqsa. So therefore, al-Masjid al-Aqsa, Jerusalem, Baytul Muqaddas, has great reverence in our hearts. It was the Qibla before Makkatul Mukarramah. It was also the place of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam's Isra and Mi'raj. However, though the Qibla was towards al-Masjid al-Aqsa, Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in were nurtured, were literally brought up with the love and the veneration of the Kaaba Sharif in their hearts. Why not so? The house built by Sayyidina Ibrahim alayhi salatu wasalam, the very first place on this earth to emanate, the very first place of worship on the surface of this earth, the Kaaba Sharif, the most rewarded salah is that which is performed in the precincts of the Kaaba Sharif in Makkah Mukarramah. Salah there is multiplied 100,000 times. So they had this yearning desire, especially those from Makkah Mukarramah, the Muhajirin, that if only our Qibla was towards Makkah Al-Mukarramah. But this was Sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Under all circumstances, sami'na wa ata'na. O Allah, we have heard your command, we happily submit to your command, even though our personal desires and temptations may be something else, but this is the command of Allah, so we happily submit to it. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam now and again would look towards the heavens, anticipating and desiring wahi to come, that the Qibla may be turned towards Makkah Mukarramah. And after they had totally submitted themselves unto Allah Ta'ala, Allah Ta'ala then revealed the verses, first page of second para, Sayaqulu Sufaha, relates to this very incident, that very soon the foolish ones, the munafiqeen, the Jews, would make a mockery and a laughing stock when your Qibla would be changed. Allah Ta'ala says, we knew very well, we seen that you would look towards the sky now and again, yearning for this command to come. And finally Allah Ta'ala brought joy and happiness to the hearts of Nabi sallallahu alaihi wasallam and Sahaba radiallahu anhu ajma'in, that fawalli wajhaka shatr al-masjid al-haram, that wherever you happen to be forthwith onwards, the Qibla of this ummah would always be towards the Kaaba Sharif, towards Makkah Mukarramah. This brought great joy. This was a test of Allah Ta'ala, a severe test of submission in totality to the command of Allah Ta'ala. So many a times we are tested either to implement an order of Allah Ta'ala. We are tested especially to stay away from the haram and the prohibitions. So it may be that many a times the command of Allah Ta'ala may be hard on the nafs, that our nafs is inclined towards something, our desire, maybe sometimes even with good intentions, may be inclined towards something else. But under all circumstances, submission to the command of Allah Ta'ala. It was at this time that a certain clan, while performing salah, were given this command, were told about this command, and within the salah, turned around towards Makkah Mukarramah, the famous ziyarah, the Masjid al-Qiblatain. Another incident, final incident that we look at around this time, when Hijrah had completed and the community now resided in Medina Munawwara, the only source of fresh, sweet water in Medina Munawwara was a well known as the Bir of Ruma. This belonged to a Jewish man, and he would not give this water free of charge, would charge an exorbitant price. So the poor amongst the Muslims found this very, very difficult. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged as to who can facilitate some means here, and who comes to the fore? None other than Sayyidina Uthman ibn Affan radiallahu an, the son-in-law of Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, the only human being ever to be honored to be in marriage to two daughters of a Nabi of Allah Ta'ala, and at that the daughters of Allah's beloved Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, Hazrat Ruqayya first, when she passed away, Hazrat Umm Kulthum radiallahu anha, when she passed away, Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam remarked, if I had 100 daughters, I would give them one after the other in succession to Hazrat Uthman radiallahu ta'ala. So Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, as they say, cometh the hour, cometh the man. So many times did he prove it, his total submission with his wealth for the cause of Islam. So he purchased this well entirely and then gave it over as a waqf and a hadiyah to the Muslim community, where now they could take water free of charge. Can you imagine what a great sacrifice this was? That is why in the end days of Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu's life, when the rebels, those who would spread fitna, would spread evil and mischief, had surrounded his home, and it was these very rebels who later on transformed into the various deviated sects in Islam, the Khawarij, the Shia, etc., that had surrounded his home. Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu anhu, for a number of days, they were so cruel, did not allow him to come and say his salah in the masjid, did not allow him to go and get water from that well. He appealed to them saying that there was a time when the Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam became too restricted in space. Nabi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam encouraged its extension. Allah had given me the tawfiq to contribute towards the extension of that masjid, and now you prevent me from performing salah in that very same Masjid al-Nabawi sallallahu alayhi wa sallam. And mentioned the incident of the Bir Ruma, when there was no fresh sweet water available, I purchased it for the benefit of the Muslim community. And today, in the severe state of thirst, you prevent me from going. Allah honored him with a great death. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi prophesies this death. Once Rasulullah Sallallahu Alaihi is climbing Mount Uhud, Hazrat Abu Bakr, Hazrat Umar, Hazrat Uthman radiallahu with Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, and Uhud started to shake. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam put his foot down on it strongly and said that, O Uhud, remain steadfast, for there is none on top of you today except a Nabi, a Siddiq, and two Shaheeds, two martyrs. Nabi Sallallahu Alaihi Wasallam, Abu Bakr Siddiq. Siddiq means the greatest supporter and verifier of the Nabi, and two Shaheeds, two who would meet honorable martyrdom in the name of Islam. Hazrat Umar radiallahu ta'ala, while performing salah, Dhul Fajr is stabbed. Hazrat Uthman radiallahu anhu met his shahada on that great day, the day of Jumu'ah itself, while in a state of fasting, while making tilawat of Quran Kareem. The rebels entered his home, brutally assassinated, gave the honor of shahada to Sayyidina Uthman radiallahu ta'ala anhu. Allahu Azza wa Jal give us tawfiq and grant us sincere love of sahaba radiallahu anhu majma'in. Tomorrow we look at a very, very important aspect of the seerah. When we go for Umrah, very famously we know the place called the Suffa. We discuss tomorrow who are the Ashabu Suffa, what were the contributions, what were the services to the Deen of Islam. Wa akhiru da'wana alhamdulillahi rabbil alamin.